The Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio, where you listen with your ears and not your mouth.
You are listening to the Blackshaw Arts Hour. We are coming to you live from Aisha's living room tonight. In the studio, I'm not going to call it a studio because it's not a studio.
Very much a lounge.
Lounge, we're in a lounge.
Well, nice lounge.
Studio, not so much live.
Yeah, no. So
I mean, this is being recorded like as we speak, so is that, does that technically...
It's a live recording.
Yeah. Live recording.
It's a live recording.
Are you allowed to talk until you're introduced?
I don't know.
No.
I have never been introduced, so I'm thinking I should be quiet.
The protocol has gone out the window. I'm going to do it now. In the lounge with me this evening is Matt Boothman.
Hello.
Ellie Pickens.
Hello.
Alexander Pankhurst.
Hello.
Strat.
Hi.
Actually known as Richard Stratton, but we call him Strat. And we are going to be bringing you all of the arts stuff tonight. But the first thing that we're going to talk about is the very exciting new thing that we are doing for the first ever time. If you're listening to our 50th show, which was two shows ago exactly...
You really should have.
Yeah, you missed out on a really good show if you haven't listened to it. You should go back and definitely listen to that. But it was the first time that we heard about a new thing that we're doing, which is called Strat and Alex Do Art. I'm going to play you a promo that Strat and Alex made before today. This is it. This is just a refresher of what is going to occur on this show.
Hi, my name is Strat.
And my name is Alex.
And we're here to do art.
You probably have some questions.
Some of which we will answer.
What are we going to be doing over the coming weeks?
Art.
How are we going to be doing this? Art.
On the internet and radio via Blackshaw and the Blackshaw Arts Hour.
Will you be able to see this art?
Oh, yes.
Where will you be able to see this art?
On the internet, but not on the radio.
Have you got that?
Good.
Now comes the hard part.
What is art?
Art is many things. Here are some of them.
Opera. Loud Italian singing. Also, there's painting. Stuff with paint. Then there's sculpting. Fun with clay. And also theatre. Actors do it. But what isn't art?
Anything with dried pasta.
Internet cat photos.
Our genitals.
Rubbing brass.
Clocks.
Toby jugs.
Or in fact, any of the ornaments your nan owns.
Interpretive dance by people who can't dance.
This! So we hope you look forward to our artistic offerings in the coming months.
And we hope to make it to 50 episodes.
Just like the Blackshaw Arts Hour, only on Wandsworth Radio. How do you stop this thing?
So, that is a...
Ellie shook her head so hard before you played that. That was 3 hours' work.
So that's a teaser trailer of what's going to occur on this show. Guys, I am slightly confused by your promo, only because you... listed some of the things you're going to be doing as art, but also a lot of things you're not going to be doing. So could you elaborate on what is exactly you are going to be doing today as your art?
Okay. As our art for today, what we will be attempting to do is draw one of the people in this room. Mm. We're drawing the same person for comparative reasons.
Yeah, and we're getting reasons.
Comparative reasons.
Because yeah. Art is all about... competition and comparison.
Yes. Good.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's...
We're going to do it in the hour.
Yeah.
And we're going to draw Matt.
We're going to draw Matt with pencils.
Yeah.
On
that's
paper.
Yeah. Exciting and terrifying.
I have similar feelings.
I'd like to gauge what we're hoping to achieve out of this this endeavour.
A recognisable picture of Matt.
Yes.
I can't draw. I just want to have something that vaguely resembles a human wearing glasses. If it looks male, bonus. If you can recognise Matt, I feel I have surpassed myself. I've always wanted to be able to draw, and I used to try and draw like cartoony things when I was a kid, as kids do, and did a lot of it, and a lot of colouring in. I was big into colouring in because it felt like I'd done the drawing, but I hadn't. I just coloured it in.
Did you do geography?
Oh yeah, I had the dark blue around all the islands.
Oh yeah.
But Alex actually can draw, I can see pictures of Batman behind me, and he actually knows what pencil, like the different numbers on the pencils, what they mean.
I feel I should state my artistic acumen in the same way that they state their business acumen on The Apprentice.
He's gone.
I did art A level, and I did a drama and theatre studies degree. That's as far as it goes. I did a mural once.
Have either of you done any research into drawing people before now?
No.
Okay, good.
I'd just like to say that sort of off air there have been discussions on what form of art this actually is and whether this constitutes still life or life drawing.
Yeah, Matt is totally naked right now.
Yeah, I could be. Listeners don't know.
Your face is naked, and if they're just drawing your face, then is it live drawing?
Matt, you've got to take your glasses off.
Do I have to sit very, very still for this to be live?
It's going to be very difficult whilst you're doing your film review.
I think, in fact, if you could just move a lot, I could just draw a big smudge, and it would just be you blurred, and then that would be great.
That sounds like a loophole I'm not willing to create for you.
That's a loophole of a photographer right there. I look forward to when it's that art we're doing.
We've got paper. I've got a rubber.
I've got a dedicated rubber. And I messaged Alex yesterday asking him if I should bring my own pencil and paper, and then he said yes. And then I realised I don't actually own any pencils and don't have any paper. So
for those that don't know, Strat's quite into his tech, so this does not surprise me at all.
No, I have an electronic pencil and electronic paper.
Would that have been an option that we would have allowed for you to do it on
iPad? I've got it with me, but
I don't want to share the same.
So yeah. So Alex has this beautiful box of pencils.
Which you get
Faber-Castell.
I mean, other pencils are available.
It's Faber-Castell.
Faber-Castell.
Other pencils.
I don't even know what you're saying. It sounds like you're saying talking about a Flavor Castell.
So brand of pencil.
Yeah. I've chosen mine. 2B. I've chosen a 2B.
Or not 2B.
Arts reference.
It's art.
I don't know. What is a B?
It's the one with a B on it.
Yeah, okay. But what does B mean?
A B means it's softer, and H means it's harder.
And the number what? The higher the number, the
softer or harder it is.
I think Scratch should just go with a HB.
Now I'm going to go with a 3B.
Controversial.
Very light.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with a 2H, thinking I have then a variety.
I'm going to also take an H pencil just for the giggles. I'm going to take a 3H.
I'm only going to use one of them, because I don't know when I'm meant to be using the other one or the other.
One is probably for shading.
You can shade on both of them.
Well, we'll get some updates as we go as to what you're finding the pencils give you in terms of strokes and results.
That was a dynamite pencil conversation.
I don't think I even have the paper right, because looking at Alex, you've got your paper in portrait and I'm landscape.
Which is your choice?
Is it?
That's your artistic choice.
Mm.
Is that where you start?
God, yeah.
So many decisions before you even...
I mean, really, you can rotate it 90 degrees and it changes it, so...
I'm not going to switch between sitting up and lying down just to accommodate the paper.
Cheers.
Thanks for that orientation.
Matt is taller than he is wide, so I think
he's not a chosen man.
So a portrait, I think, seems more sensible.
Essentially,
I'm just going to copy Alex, because he knows what he's doing.
That's like Chinese whispers art. You can't just not look at the subject.
You need to bring your own artistic flair to the assignment. That's the purpose.
I'm bringing something to
it. That is imitation art.
I'd like to point out that at the end of this hour of this recording of the show, we are going to get some semi-portraits of Matt Boothman.
Yeah.
We are unclear as to the depth of the art that is going to occur today.
Here's a way to raise the stakes. Whichever one we all decide is better, I'll set it as my Twitter profile picture.
Amazing!
Well, I think whichever one is worse, he should have.
Punishing Matt!
So we are collectively, also Matt as well, is going to collectively choose which one is the better piece of art at the end of this hour, and do a critical analysis of the portraits that are produced. So guys, I think maybe you should begin, get into position. Are you in good position to be arting?
I think...
Yeah, as good as I'm ever going
to be. He's Matt's far enough away so that if he wants to hit me afterwards, he can't reach. So
yes.
That's good.
That is good. Okay, so...
How big?
Now...
Are we can we do whole body or are we just doing head?
Just head.
Oh, stipulation. Okay, yeah.
It's a portrait.
So you might want to be closer, really.
Yeah, I think if it's just head.
If it's just head, then we've got to get really close.
I mean both kneeling down in front of Matt.
Then get right up in his grill.
Okay.
Good. Chair moving noises.
Sorry.
I've got to produce quality radio content under these circumstances.
I think you probably can. You're used to people staring at you while you do radio stuff, right?
And on that note, we are going to move very swiftly into, as the boys get into position to begin drawing Matt Boogman, we are going to do this thing.
The Matt Boogman Film Review. So good, I put my trousers back on.
So, with a little bit of a silly introduction to the Life for Arts Hour, we are moving into familiar territory, and Matt is going to review...
Doctor Strange.
Not Doctor Strangelove.
No.
Because that is a different film altogether.
An absolutely very different film, yes.
Good to know. That was going to be my first question, but you may proceed now.
All right. So Doctor Strange is, you may be relieved to hear, I think, the final superhero movie of 2016.
Whoa!
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I don't disbelieve you, but...
Less talking, more drawing, please.
Sorry. So far, I've done your forehead.
So this is very strange. I apologise.
Come on, Matt. You're a pro. You can do this.
So the basic setup is Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange. It's not a superhero name. That's literally the character's name. He is Doctor Stephen Strange. He is a fantastic neurosurgeon who's great at neurosurgery, has the most delicate hands in the business, until he has a horrible car crash because he's not paying attention to the road because he's an arrogant man. And his hands are ruined and he can't do surgery anymore.
Is anything else ruined, or did he specifically crash his hands?
I mean, he's pretty banged up, but the most pertinent injury to him personally
right.
is the fact that his hands are full of metal pins and shake all the time.
So they're not just like all gammy.
I mean, they are pretty scarred throughout the movie. Like, you can see the surgery scars all over them.
Right.
It's pretty... And there's one of the things called out on the certificate is injury detail.
Sure.
That is...
Poor Dr. Strange.
Yeah. So he can't do neurosurgery anymore. He goes around looking for sort of things to correct his injury and fix his hands so that he can get his life back on track, get back doing what he's good at. And when everything else fails, he turns to the sort of more mind over matter type solutions and ends up becoming, and here's the curveball for anybody who's not familiar with the character, a sorcerer.
Okay then.
Can you just become a sorcerer?
Yeah.
In this universe, yes, you can.
Okay. Good.
So this is sort of Marvel has sort of been billing this as kind of a game changer for their franchise because it introduces magic to their superhero universe, which hasn't really had that before. It's had advanced technology and aliens and superpowers and things, but it hasn't had literal magic.
Isn't what the witch does magic?
Telekinesis. So in the comics, it's a bit more ambiguous, but in the movies, it's just
a power.
It's a superpower derived from an alien thingy.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So magic.
Yeah. So magic. So what it does is it opens up the multiverse. So it says this universe that we live in, the material universe, is not the only universe that exists. There are other dimensions. We saw a small glimpse of this concept in Ant-Man
When he goes super duper small.
He goes super duper small and goes into the quantum dimension.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, if anybody saw Ant-Man and saw sort of that slightly trippy, psychedelic quantum dimension sort of look and feel that movie had in those scenes, there's a lot more of that in Doctor Strange and sort of ramped up even further. lots of going into other dimensions and trippy shapes and weird things and all sorts.
Okay.
So, there were worries about this movie before it happened, because in the comics, Doctor Strange is, he's a bit like, did anyone see The Last Samurai?
Yeah, with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, with Tom Cruise. Or any movie like that, like Last Samurai, Dances with Wolves, any of these movies where a white dude ends up in, like, another culture and then becomes the best at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Tom Cruise, a white dude, becomes the best samurai, better than all the Japanese
Which has
people.
Never happened before yeah. and will never happen.
Yeah, and, like, in Dances with Wolves, a white dude becomes the best Native American. And Avatar, the James Cameron movie.
Yeah,
very similar sort
well
of thing.
Done, everybody.
Yeah, and so there was a similar sort of worry with this, because the sort of the origin of the comics back in the day when this thing was a bit more acceptable, it was a white American surgeon dude goes to like India and the Far East and becomes the best at all the Far Eastern mystic arts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that same sort of colonial sort of narrative. They've done a reasonable job of getting around that in the movie, partly because he does go to Kathmandu to find the his sorcerer powers.
Mm-hmm.
But the sort of the organisation of sorcerers is shown as being kind of multicultural rather than particularly kind of Eastern inflected.
Okay.
So there's lots of different people in there. So Tilda Swinton is the main one, the Sorcerer Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And again, sort of in terms of being progressive, that's it's a male character in the comics, and they've given that part to Tilda Swinton.
Good. Okay.
Chiwetel Ejiofor is in it as kind of the equal and opposite to Doctor Strange. So Doctor Strange is kind of he's very flexible about rules, and he will he questions everything and says, "No, this doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? I'm going to try and find like my own solution to this sort of thing rather than accepting doctrine." Whereas Chiwetel Ejiofor's character Mordo is much more kind of hidebound and all about the rules and following the natural laws.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a white character in the comics that is being played by a black man in the movie.
Okay.
Benedict Wong plays a guy called Wong, who in the comics is Doctor Strange's like Chinese manservant, but in this is like a sorcerer in his own right with his own kind of stuff going on. So they've done a reasonable job. It's still, though, it's still a movie that centres a white dude who's kind of a douchebag in the same sort of Iron Man mould.
Mm-hmm.
That he's like, he's arrogant and he tries to get his own way and doesn't really listen to anybody.
Is that because he's like at the top of his game? Is that why?
Very much so. Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like he should, like, it's sort of a karmic thing with the car crash, like that should have knocked him down a few pegs, having put him out of his career, blah, blah, blah. But then, of course, he goes on to become a powerful sorcerer. So I feel like not a lot of time for redemption and humbleness to occur. Mm.
Although, sort of, not to spoil it too much, but kind of the where he has to, what he has to do to win the day at the end is pretty much put his ego aside, and
oh, that's good.
The way he has to defeat the bad guy involves a pretty high degree of humiliation for him.
Hooray!
So right. It does have that character arc of he's a very ego-driven guy who has to put his ego aside for the, like, find something
so
greater than himself.
100% Iron Man.
Not exactly, no. It's a little bit different, but it's, like, pretty parallel.
Okay.
So who's that bad guy?
So the main bad guy who actually gets an actor is a guy called Caecilius, who is a sorcerer who's gone off the rails, played by Mads Mikkelsen.
Mm-hmm.
I love him.
He's very good.
So good.
This is full of thesps. It's
yeah.
Cumberbatch,
all the stages.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, Mads Mikkelsen, Tilda
Swinton. Did Mads do theatre, didn't he?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but he's definitely
he's a stage man.
He is.
Oh.
Known more for his TV work now, I think.
Because Hannibal.
Oh, Hannibal's sick.
And Tilda Swinton, who I don't know whether she's a stage thesp.
I feel like she must
way,
be.
She's still like a, she's an actorly actor.
Oh yes. She's got the craft.
Yeah.
That's what's happening with her.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to say that one of the main kind of revisions is that in the comics, Doctor Strange, it becomes the Sorcerer Supreme. He does become the best sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this, he's one of the team.
Sure.
He's very good and he's very driven and he has the drive to read all the books and learn all the stuff and try and try and try and try until he gets it right.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. but he's not kind of the like the predestined best magician,
okay.
Which is good, I think. I was refreshed that it didn't try and go down that route.
Mm-hmm.
So it's decent. It looks great. All the kind of psychedelic other dimension stuff is really good. The magic looks interesting. It's all kind of sort of sparks and embers bursting off everything. Mm-hmm. So it looks like kind of everything is kind of flaming and fiery. But then there's other types of magic that are more sort of green and neon. And it looks good. The visual effects are great. Cumberbatch is better in it than I thought he would be based on the trailers.
Okay.
There were shots in the trailers that made me think that it looked almost like he didn't really know how to act with his face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say that about him, just about everything, just because his face is so weird and plasticine-y.
Yeah. There were some melodramatic looks in the trailers where he sort of looks at his hands in a really kind of overblown way.
Mm-hmm.
Though those shots kind of fit the tone of the movie better in context.
Right.
So kind of maybe don't be put off by... If you, as I did, watched the trailers and thought, this doesn't look like very good Cumberbatch.
Okay.
Not peak Cumberbatch.
Not peak Cumberbatch, as I said. I don't think it is the game changer that Marvel are touting it as. It does. It brings in some other stuff into their franchise that they can use for sort of storytelling purposes later down the line in other movies.
Right.
But in terms of the kind of the characters that are presented, and in terms of the shape of the plot of the movie, it's nothing we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. Like I say, it follows the kind of the Iron Man 1 arc fairly closely.
It's really funny because it doesn't sound to me like a Marvel superhero film as you're talking about it. It feels completely different. Does it feel different when you're watching it? Or does it feel like it just fits the same mold as, like... Because I can't imagine how a film like this about magic would feel the same as Iron Man. I don't understand that.
It's the elements that are in it, kind of the scenes, rather than the... I know what you mean, that it's... We've had this very scientifically grounded, even if it does have sort of super science and superheroes
mm-hmm.
universe, and now we're going into this magical realm.
Yeah.
But it still has the hero who is kind of brought low by some sort of accident and has to recover from it.
Mm-hmm.
It still has the hero learning to use his powers montages.
Mm-hmm.
It still has the first encounter with the villain where the hero loses and gets a bit duffed up.
Right.
And sort of the triumphant return to defeat the villain in the end and that kind of stuff. So it's just, in terms of the shape of it, it feels very similar
okay.
to the other sort of superhero movies. And it's the beginning of the next Marvel, quote, phase.
Sure,
and they
yeah,
release their
I love
movies
their
in these sort of phases.
Mm.
So the last one, Captain America Civil War, was the end of a phase. This is the start of a new phase. It's kicking off a whole load of new things.
Wow, okay.
So it's fine. Like they are a studio that have worked out a formula and have become very good at what they do.
Yes, yeah.
And I always enjoy the stuff that they put out, but I'm getting to the point now where I want to see them pushing it a bit more and want to see something a bit different.
Yeah, I feel like you just saying, it's fine, is probably a good indication of this is not a groundbreaking film. It's probably visually very nice to look at, and it is normal, and we know the plot and how it's going to
go. Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's any like major twists.
No.
Either. It's got some good laughs, but they're the sort of Marvel snarky sort of laughs.
Mm.
That
oh, God, I
hate expect.
This.
I saw it over the weekend. His cloak, really cool.
His cloak is a character in its own right and has a personality and gets most of the good laughs.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Think,
what kind of cloak is it?
It's a cloak of levitation.
It made me, the moment I saw it, I was like, I recognise this character, which was really weird when talking about essentially an inanimate object, but I realised halfway through, Magic Carpet from Aladdin.
Yes, I haven't made that connection, but you are absolutely right.
So it doesn't speak?
No.
Okay. Because that would be weird if it spoke.
No, but it's a high-collared thing and it does kind of slap
oh,
in the face.
Brilliant. Okay, that sounds fun. I do like, you know, clothing and outfits, so maybe I should go see this.
I'm going to go and see it tomorrow, and I am probably going to see it in 3D.
Okay.
Oh,
I did think, actually, watching it, that there were bits of it that would be really impressive
yeah.
in 3D.
I feel more confident in that decision based on how you've talked up the visuals.
Yeah.
Mm, good move. Okay. I'm going to ask you at the end of the show, Matt, what the
you
next
can ask me
film
at the end, or you can ask me now.
Is it going to be the same answer of I don't know, or
no,
do you...
I actually know some stuff that's coming out.
I'm going to ask you now because I'm so excited. Matt, what are you going to do next show?
I might even know all the things I'm going to review for the rest of the
year.
For
the rest of the year?
Yeah, please, man.
Oh, wow. My programming is just going to be off the chain.
So the things that are coming up that look interesting. Like I said, no more superhero movies this year. The next thing that's coming out is Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Which is an Amy Adams movie about... It's a first contact with aliens movie.
Oh, God.
So it's aliens, but it's not space. They come to Earth. So they come to us, so there's no space.
I'm 50-50 on aliens.
So I like Amy Adams. I keep seeing quotes and blurbs and things on posters saying, like, the best sci-fi movie in years. So
wow.
Who knows
is
if that's true, but I'll give it a go.
Wow, that is a shout right there.
I see a lot of people... Nuts over it.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, it seems to be, it's about linguistics, and, like, she is a linguist who is called
to
interpret, like, the message from the aliens.
I saw her interviewed on Graham Norton, and they were talking about that other film she's in at the moment that I can't remember the name of.
Yeah.
It's like a psychological thriller, but they also...
Nocturnal Animals,
thank you, Alex. But, yeah, she talked about this, and they showed a little clip, and it does look really, really interesting.
Yeah. So there's that,
mm-hmm.
And then there's Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes!
The
yes!
The new Harry Potter movie with Eddie Redmayne. And then there's Rogue One.
Yes! Which
is the new Star Wars.
Star Wars,
but not a Star Wars episode
right.
movie.
It's outside of the...
It is outside. It is a Star Wars story, which is a new...
Like a standalone...
A new
set. When does it take place in terms of the chronology?
It takes place... correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct me if he's wrong, Star Wars. No,
it takes
drawing.
Place just before the first movie that came out. So,
yes.
Hope. So,
yeah.
Episode 4...
What?
That's
I understand.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
Episode
the future,
4 was the first
like
Star
it.
Wars movie that came out.
It's during when the Empire are constructing the Death Star.
Yeah.
The first Death Star.
So it's about people finding out how to destroy the Death Star.
Okay.
The first Death Star.
Right.
For Star Wars fans.
I wholeheartedly look forward to that review. that's going to be excellent.
Any others that you've got lined
so
up?
So those are the three I'm looking
three.
At before the end of the year.
Okay.
That's very good, Matt. I like how you've planned.
I think we should maybe start thinking about like a retro Christmas review as
yes.
well.
Definitely. National
how many
Lampoon's
of us are
Vacation.
Going to see the
Muppet
Prince,
Christmas
the
Carol.
Prince Charles cinema,
yeah.
Muppet Christmas Carol sing along.
Quite a lot of people we know.
Mm. Should we just record us singing along?
Just have the whole show will just be us.
That
no,
is
I think
not...
that's a copyright issue.
But it's also not quality content.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you an update on what I can currently see in front of me. Stratus currently drawn a collar with no head.
Yeah.
He has
his
got,
face is really hard, so I started with his jumper.
He has got collar, shoulders, and partial neck happening.
Yeah.
But no face so far.
Darling,
he did a lot of. I'm not sure if you can actually hear on the recording, but there is a lot of pencil scratching happening. Also, I noticed that Strat was doing a lot of erasing, which doesn't make me overly confident about his ability.
Yeah, this is my second attempt. I started, and then I missed my number two.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Alex is doing a brilliant job, but Matt does look about 50. Which could be
yeah.
an issue for when you show him your drawing a bit later on.
Yeah,
pretty good.
The thing that we are going to talk about now is similarly aligned to cinema, and it's something that cropped up today, actually, in a discussion amongst a WhatsApp group that we all have together. Ellie posted a link to something weird that I am very unsure of.
You're setting this up like I've said you're really awful.
No, it's fine. It's just nothing I've ever heard of before.
Okay.
That's why I found
so
it quite strange.
I'm an avid cinema goer, as you know, and I got a newsletter today in which they informed me that London's first 4DX cinema is opening in Wandsworth.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was amused because it's the letter, the number 4, and then capital D, capital X. So in like text speak, it looked like it said 4DX.
strong.
Which I thought was a weird way to...
So the way that I introduced this is actually not that incorrect, because it is very odd.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It just sounds like I say something really perverted.
They haven't thought through the branding.
No, not at all. I mean, the image at the top here is a man seemingly on fire riding a chair. So, he's not looking happy. I think he's supposed to look like his mind's being blown, but he looks like he's actually experiencing a lot of pain. Anyway, the whole point of it apparently is it's an incredible way to watch the biggest blockbusters. It features moving seats and special effects, including wind, water, fog, lightning, bubbles, and scents.
Bubbles!
All perfectly synchronised with the action you're seeing on screen. And it opens on December 9th, just in time for Rogue One, a Star Wars story. So, I mean, that's big news for Wandsworth. Mm. I did say earlier I feel like I want to experience it, but I feel like I will probably hate it, and I will come out feeling like it's not designed for people over the age of, like, 22.
It sounds like a ride.
It does sound like a ride, and that's why I don't appreciate it, because I don't like rides.
But it's like you get these in theme parks. Like, I remember going to Disney World when I was younger, and there was, like, a 4D experience for a show, and you do sit in those seats where it kind of, like, spurts water at you at relevant moments, and then, like, blows air on the back of your neck, and it does stuff... like as part of the show. But I can't imagine the work that's going to have to go into that for doing it for whole films.
Yeah.
And also I can't imagine that it's going to be, I don't know, I have hygiene concerns also. Like, how are they going to keep all those seats clean if they do all these clever things? Yeah.
And I feel like it's an interesting choice trying it out with something like Rogue One, which is going to be quite a highly anticipated film, I feel.
Yeah, but there'll be loads of stuff like flying bits where they can rock your chair around and make you feel like you're flying, so that will work.
Yeah.
So if this is 4D and all of the chair moving bubbles, scents, etc., is the 4D, I presume that means it's in 3D.
I assume so, yes. Well, let me just check that picture and see if the man's wearing the glasses. He's not wearing the glasses,
I haven't heard many stories about this lately, but given that when 3D first sort of came back...
Oh, people were vomiting in the eyes.
People were being sick all the time. Yeah. Like, how is that going to interact with
the
chair is moving as
interesting.
Well?
Interesting. And again, goes back to the hygiene issue.
Yeah.
Also, I like that they're going to include fog, which I feel like might impair your vision.
I think that's my main concern, is that this sounds like a distraction from the movie rather than an enhancement of the experience.
It sounds like a challenge on a quiz show. Like, we're going to show you this film, but we're also going to, like, rock you around and blow stuff in your face and confuse you, and then you have to remember another quiz.
Yeah, there's going to be 20 questions at the end. I hate to think that if someone went to it not knowing that it was going to be a 4D experience, and then they were just like, why are people throwing water at me? I'm trying to watch this film.
No, I feel like it would be pretty heavily branded in cinema. Like, that's everything in the cinema for a while, right? It's just going to be going, come and do this, it's amazing, it's so good, oh, look at all these pretty cardboard cutouts telling you to go do this thing. And I just don't know if it's going to survive very long.
No, and I wonder how many people are going to be in the cinema at the time, because I feel like it would be a limited amount of people that you could have the same experience. Like, you go to those big cinemas and you've got, 150 seats?
Going on the, as a theme park ride thing, it was like 300 people. Like, it was big auditorium.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, there's going to be loads of maintenance issues.
Mm.
And also, how funny is that going to be if, like, you go during the...
Don't laugh, like,
always
this
think about
is,
logistics.
Like, logistics.
It's all health and safety and, yeah, hygiene, logistics.
From a facilities point of view, it's an absolute nightmare.
Yes, imagine running it.
Oh, yeah.
But I think also it's going to be pretty hilarious.
Oh,
it's hilarious the other way around, though,
right?
Like, what if you're going, like, I like to go when the cinema is quiet and I'm not going to have loads of other people on the screen with me. But if you go to that screen and it's, like, just you and maybe one other maybe old person, and then you're being, like, thrown around, stuff in your face, and then will that happen to all the other empty seats? Like, will they be activated even though there's no one sitting in them?
That's a massive waste of resource.
And water, right?
Yeah.
So is
do you
this
come out wet? Do you need to wear a poncho?
Is there a splash zone?
Do you need to wear a specific kind
of outfit? I don't
know
if we're just making this up, though. I don't know if they actually mentioned water in this.
So do you think this is...
There's bubbles.
Oh, no, it does say wind and water, yeah.
Because
maybe
now,
it's a light spray.
People said about 3D cinema, that like this is a way to get, this is a reason for people to go to the cinema instead of just downloading a movie and watching it
at home. Yeah.
And now that you can watch 3D movies at
home,
should
really?
You wish,
oh, yes, really, yeah.
You can get 3D TV, you can get 3D Blu-rays. Now that you can do that, is this just people trying to up the stakes
yeah.
to try and get people out of their houses
yeah.
into
but
a
then,
cinema?
But then you could technically just get your partner to like blow on your face, throw water at you, push you around a bit in your chair. Like you could do that at home, right?
I don't feel like it would be a particularly immersive experience into a film. I just don't think that that would occur for me. I'd just be frustrated
yeah.
and annoyed.
Yeah,
by...
I think it will be a distraction.
Yeah.
But then again, you could use it to see a really terrible action film, and then it's kind of be okay, because you don't need to, like, there's no plot to follow.
Mm.
Like the new, is it Jack Reacher?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah,
or the new Triple X.
Yeah, or that terrible film we saw a few years ago about, what's it called? American President.
London Has Fallen, or
no.
White House Down.
No, the olden days.
There's so many
American
President.
Abraham Lincoln being a vampire hunter.
Oh, that one.
Oh, right.
That's such a good film.
American President does not narrow it down.
No, sorry. But he's a vampire hunter, and there's loads of bits with like all horses that were trampling things and all big fights. Like you could get quite a lot of 4D effects out of that kind of film.
Right? I feel like you can work out just how absurd this is if you try to like think of it applied to other art forms. Like, can you imagine people trying to apply this to theatre?
Oh
like,
my goodness.
We're gonna do a play and we're gonna rock your seats around.
Yeah, that would be weird. But I suppose in a way, like theatre already has much more so than cinema the ability to be immersive, because you can have different staging where audience can actually be seated on the stage, actors can be in promenade walking around you.
Mm.
So that art form already has that kind of edge on cinema, whereas up until potentially now with this new 4DX, cinema doesn't have that kind of immersive thing, other than obviously engagement with the content. You can't literally step inside the film, can you? But you can step inside a play.
Mm. Mm. I feel like it would have been a better idea to launch this kind of thing with like a retro look at films and pick and choose films that this could really work for.
Oh, like a showcase.
Yeah, and then try and gauge whether it could work for new releases. I feel like
going...
Well, presumably
they've done all of that in testing.
Yeah, but like for the public to get involved.
Yeah,
and for
you're right.
The element.
Saying I'd like to try it out, I would love to try it out on like... A 20-minute take me through the things this place can do, rather than watching a whole film.
Or alternatively,
I think the best use of this is for Titanic.
Just being really cold and wet.
It can rock you up and rock you backwards, and then just plunge you into freezing water.
Yeah, that sounds great.
But that's the kind of thing
you
that I feel.
Quid
for it. Yeah, I feel like people would go for that kind of experience because that's a nostalgic film. It's a film that people really like. And there's other stuff like Die Hard films or those cheesy action films that we all know really well. That kind of thing could work well for.
Or maybe they'll start doing that.
I think that would be a much better place
to
start.
It's going
to
be interesting to see how popular it is, what it's actually like, and also I'd be interested to know how much it's going to cost.
Yeah.
Because obviously 3D films are more expensive than 2D.
Mm.
How much more expensive is 4DX?
How much more expensive is all that fucking bubbles that they're getting people to blow?
I know, right? And the smells. How much does smells cost?
Smells just freaks me out. That's gross.
Smell-o-vision.
Yeah, okay. Moving on. That was us for talking about 4D.
4DX. 4DX coming 4DX. To Wandsworth for the 9th of December.
Pipe down, art people.
sorry.
Speaking of art people, can we have a bit of an update on how you guys are going?
Yeah, I've got to his face.
You're not supposed to be showing the wider team.
No, let me see.
Oh, right, no.
I'm interested to know if you guys have worked out different uses for your different...
I've only used this pencil. But I have used it, I've used the point, and the side bit.
Okay.
I have just remembered about my second pencil.
So which is the one that you have been using?
I have been using my 2H, but I'm thinking now my, what was it, 3B is hair.
Nice.
It's going to be more use for hair. Matt, your hair is 3B.
Okay.
And Alex, how's your pencil differentiation?
Well, I started with the... What have I got? I started with a 3H just to sort of get that initial rough sketches down, which is why he looks like a geriatric, because there's loads of scribbles everywhere. And then I'm going over it with the softer pencil.
Why are you?
To sort of get more definition.
Strat has just a great idea as far
as mind blown.
I'm going to go over it with the other one for a reason.
I feel like this is a really great introduction to this segment as a long running piece of the Black Show Rats Hour.
It's
fantastic. I'm really enjoying what I can see.
We should have picked an art we're both better at.
Oh, Alex is actually quite good at this, right? Yeah. I'm not sure if you're looking next to you, but it's not looking bad. Oh, the sigh of a loser.
We'll be the judges of that.
I'm starting, you know.
Yes,
I'm a hustler. I'm an art hustler.
It's going to suddenly show some talent later on.
I promise, Matt.
And with that, we're going to leave the boys now to have a little bit of an extra time. We're going to listen to some fantastic poetry by our friend Owen Collins. This was recorded live at one of our new writing nights a couple of months back. This is Owen now.
Thank you. It's nice to be a return person. My name is Owen Collins. Last time I did a Blackshaw night, I got told I was propagating the soft left mainstream corporate agenda. So tonight's performance is brought to you by Angela Eagle. It's going to be fun tonight. yeah. So, just taking you back a few months into my past, just for context, this is a poem called Minehead. It's named after a popular Somerset seaside resort of the same name. Tonight we will stroll hand in hand across the crazy golf courses. Tonight we will kiss along the promenade. Tonight we will gaze out across the sand and a literal sea of darkness trawlers like fairy lights illuminating our eyelines. Tonight we will canoodle on the esplanade and not need to walk on the beach. Tonight we're making our own romance. Tonight we will move your car to the seafront, sit in the front and snuggle while your new favourite song is playing and inconspicuously smuggle you into a holiday park. Tonight we will feel the chill of the Bristol Channel. Tonight we will embrace the warmth of one another's much-missed body. Tonight you will impress everybody with your filthy mind on the way to winning cards against humanity. Tonight we will sleep with the windows open. Tonight an Irish hypnotherapist will convince you that he could cure you of your fear of fish and try and sell you a dog in the same conversation. You are tempted. He's clearly good at his job. Tonight we will slow dance to a sound check of Tomorrow's Just Another Day. Tonight is not just another night. Tomorrow's not just another day. Tonight you will help me drink a pint of Worthington's Cream Flow, and in return you will let me have 80% of the co-op naan bread we have with dinner. Tonight I will eat a chili that makes my mouth go numb. Tonight you will bring the feeling back. Tonight I will love you a little bit more than yesterday and a little bit less than tomorrow. Cheers. But it's going to be a really miserable 10 minutes if all I do is talk about my ex-girlfriend. So this is a poem about the psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud. We've all heard of him? Yeah? Me and my brother were talking recently about Sigmund Freud, and then we started talking about the band Pink Floyd. And then we started talking about what a Sigmund Freud, Pink Floyd tribute band mashup would sound like. So I decided to write a poem about it. This is either called Pink Freud or Sigmund Floyd. Feel free to offer suggestions in the feedback. But yeah, this is Sigmund Floyd. All in all, it's just another dick in the wall. I'd like to take a moment now to talk about the socio-economic implications of Britain's impending withdrawal from the European Union. Which is a bit shit, isn't it? You notice everything is slowly getting more expensive. Last time I did a new writing night for Blackshear, it was in a pub south of the river where it was like £2 a pint, and now look at us. What's really got more expensive is crisps. Space Raiders. Does everyone remember Space Raiders?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Space Raiders used to be like quite a big packet of crisps for 10p. And now they're like 60p. And, you know, being fair to them, the best thing about Space Raiders was the fact they were dirt cheap. So. You didn't buy them for the taste. But I used to really like Space Raiders. so I've written a sonnet about how they've got more expensive. And this is actually in part a two fingers to the person who, in their feedback last time, said, it's not proper poetry, is it? I've written a sonnet. So if you're here, fuck you. 10 pence piece found on the AstroTurf pitch on Tuesday evening at hockey training was enough to make a man feel rich and dry and warm even when 'twas raining. An earthly promise of a puffed corn snack, cheapest product in the vending machine, something to munch on for the journey back, taste of the future from planets unseen. But as all things must, they were set to change, and life's little treats are taken away, doubled in price and now out of my range, out of my life, and that's where they will stay. Cheap poxy pleasures, but ones so adored, now signs of a future that I can't afford. Thank you.
You've just been listening to some poetry by Owen Collins. Speaking of new writing, Owen was performing that at a new writing night, and we have a very exciting one that is going to be coming up, but we're also doing submissions.
That's right. So the reason that the next one is so exciting is that it's our annual Showcase Award shortlist new writing night.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. So once a year we run an award. The prize for that is that you get to work with us for nearly a year to develop a short piece of writing into a full-length play, and we then stage that as an industry-only showcase in the following year. So last year's winner was Jerry Monaghan with Carla Cove, and that's being performed at the Pleasance on the 2nd of March in 2017. And what we're doing is we've kind of flipped the schedule around a bit, so we're actually holding the 2017 award shortlist evening on the 30th of January, so that's going to be before Carla Cove is performed.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you even more time to work with us to develop your piece. So this is the one new writing night of the year where it's theatre only. So normally we accept any kind of new writing across all genres, but this time it is theatre only, and it needs to be up to 15 minutes long, no more than 4 actors needed. So you could technically have more characters, but 4 actors. And you should be prepared to have the final piece written within a year to be performed the following March. So the submissions open on Monday, I believe. Is that right, Strat? Because you're sending out the newsletter. Good. Strat updates our website and does the newsletter. So
Monday the 7th.
Yeah, Monday the 7th they're opening, and the deadline is the 30th of December.
Mm-hmm.
So you have right up until the end of this year. And that then will give us a few weeks to select our shortlisted pieces that we performed on the 30th of January at the Hen and Chickens Theatre in Islington.
Yes, our new writing night venue, which will be awesome. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
I love doing showcase stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's funny now, because it slightly confuses me as we're working on
Carla Cove.
That's how I say it.
Ogue like rogue.
Ogue, good, yes. So we saw that actually. We saw a snippet of it at the last New Writing Night.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited to see that at Pleasance. But then similarly, seeing the showcase pieces at a New Writing Night is very exciting, because it's really some of the best bits of Blackshaw New Writing that you can see on a stage.
It is the cream of the crop, generally. Yeah.
And winners! Competition!
Yeah, absolutely. There's a really good prize attached. So if you want to find out more, you can go to our website, blackshawonline.com. All the info will be up there tomorrow, Monday the 7th. And you can apply. And I would urge you to tell all of your friends that are budding writers. It doesn't have to be something that is anywhere near complete. In fact, the fresher the better. So if you've got even just an idea germinating about something that could be a play, if you think you can write something between 5 and 15 minutes of it to submit, then that is absolutely perfect. That's the kind of stuff we want. Equally, if you've got something that you wrote ages ago and it's been sitting in a drawer, get it out, fluff it up a bit, send that in. And even if you've got something that's a completed play, but you've never shown anyone it because you're terrified, and that is very common for writers, I believe, Matt.
I can attest to this, yes.
Yes. Then be brave. Send us an up to 15-minute extract for that. And you never know what could happen. And we've had great success in previous years with our winners. So.
Yeah. And we're really nice. We don't judge.
Yeah. We're very friendly.
Just having it... an extract performed at the showcase is really handy, just to see things on its feet and get an idea of how it's going and see how an audience responds to it. And if you win, we give you a mentor to basically just like call up when you're stuck and bounce ideas off.
You're never on your own. It's a fully supported process. And previous winners have been people like Kat Roberts, who wrote Staying Alive, which then we went on to perform for 3 weeks at the Pleasance, and that was published by Nick Kern Books. We've also had Call It Even, which was a lovely little piece, and of course now Jerry's Carla Cove, which I think has got a big future ahead of it. So if you want more information, go to the website, and you can always get in touch with us as well on Twitter, Facebook, whatever you like. Just Google Blackshaw Theatre and you'll find everything you need.
And that Showcase New Writing Night will be kicking off our 2017 Blackshaw Year of the New Writing Night next year, which
absolutely
is very exciting. That's what we're focusing all our time on, so come along and see us at the Hen and Chickens every other month.
Just about, the dates will be up on the website as well.
They'll be there closer to the end of the year. So right now we are pretty much at the end of the show. I don't have to ask Matt what he's reviewing next show because we've already done that. But what we do need to do is make an assessment of some art that has been happening throughout
the duration.
Can we do it next week?
No, Strat, we can't. Okay. This is the constraints you're working to is so.
Stupid agreeing and working out what it was going to be.
So. As it stands, Alex and Strat have been drawing a portrait of Matt Boogman for the last hour as we've been presenting the show. Strat is very worried about producing his portrait.
I've just seen Alex's. It's great.
So, guys, before you show Ellie and Matt what you've done, Strat, give me a very, very brief outline of how you found doing it.
Okay. First of all, I'd like you to guess when I've ever drawn a portrait of a person.
Never.
Correct. So I found it alarming because I didn't know where to start. The first maybe 5 minutes was me just kind of, I drew a line and then drew several more lines on top of that line, hoping that maybe my hand would work out what was meant to happen next. So, yeah, then I started doing his face, which started like this.
So, Strat is currently showing...
That is recognisable as a face.
It's a face.
Okay. It's definitely a face.
But I really got stuck and didn't know what to do, which is why I thought I would start with the jumper, because jumpers look easier to draw than that.
So, as an onlooker over Strat's shoulder, what occurred today was that he started a piece and then decided to abandon it, which is what you just showed Ellie and Matt.
Yeah.
And then you started with a very detailed collar and jumper situation, which is very, very good.
Strong.
Very strong. Strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do you want to explain how you found it after that?
Really tricky. Your nose was a pain, as were your face, just your face. I didn't know when to stop with your neck.
he's got quite an elongated neck, I would say.
Yeah, it's probably, like, you've got more neck here.
I'm dying to see it.
But it could be worse. I was expecting worse. It's not good.
Please show the class what you've done.
No, it's magic. right. I was hoping, right?
That is a reaction of endearment.
For a person, I think I got person.
You did get person.
And then I was going for human male.
That was the bar you were going for.
I'm not convinced by the male bar.
Yeah, I think male. Like, I thought, halfway through, like, it's not going to look like Matt. So I'm just going to be inspired by Matt.
I really like how you've tried to do some really artistic shading for the cheekbones, but it does look like he's just got a pirate scar.
Yeah, that was like the last 30 seconds of...
Yeah,
shit
I saw you doing that and I thought it was a huge mistake.
I think it's better than not having it, because otherwise you just looked... There was no definition.
For someone who's never drawn a person before, I think you've done very well.
Thank you. But
Does he have a hearing aid? Have you drawn a hearing aid?
Ears are so hard!
You were talking yourself down so much that you definitely lowered our expectations to the point that this
and
is impressive.
And the jumper and the collar look great!
Thank
you! They are very good. They are
I would say 70% of my time was on jumper and collar.
And the task was very much face. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's move to Alex. How did you find this process?
I don't think I've ever drawn a person's face before.
No.
I feel like you have. I feel like that's a lie.
No, I genuinely, I've never drawn a person's face before.
Okay, so I'm really
drawn Batman, but I suppose Batman has a
mouth. And it was also a copy of someone else's drawing.
It's a chin rather than a face.
Yeah,
so yeah, but your drawing's just a copy of Matt.
I'm only saying that you're lying because I've seen it and it's very good.
It's really good.
So okay, well, this is my first attempt at... Well, I just kind of... I was actually watching Jim Lee, who is a comic book artist who does both Batman and Marvel stuff. And he was just like, just keep drawing, don't stop, don't try and rub out, just keep drawing. And that's what I did with the light pencil first, the something H, the 3H, and then went over it when I started to think it was looking a bit more like matte and I needed more definition and tone.
Does look like Matt.
Okay. Do you want to show
Ellie
and Matt what you've
Ellie's
produced?
Got even more anticipation than me.
So good.
Oh my god! That actually is recognisable as Matt.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I mean, he does. It does maybe look like Matt in the future.
Yeah.
Like in another 20
feel like that's
years.
Just
in
like
20 years, we should.
Oh yeah.
We should put it next to that.
Yeah.
I think I'm very
and next
impressed.
To Brian, and if you look like mine,
the
then
ear is really, really good ear and nose work.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Guys, Matt, I'm going to go to Matt first, actually. So this is the voice of...
Do we need to do this bit?
Matt, how do you feel about what has happened here today?
I feel slightly in the spotlight. You'll have noticed that it threw me off my game a little bit.
You're such an extrovert, though. You should love this kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That alerts attention.
I mean, I think it raises interesting questions about whether this form of art, like whether to be good, it has to be like an accurate photorealistic representation or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the extent of the critiquing of the art that we're going to probably get today, which is completely fine with me.
I feel like we have to nod to the intent of the feature, which is, what is art? Is this art?
I think, yeah.
Do you feel like you were violated in any way?
No.
Good, okay, that's positive.
That's a positive.
I feel like we have two very decent portraits of Matt Boothman.
Which we will be tweeting shortly, so with Matt next to each of them.
Yes.
So go to @BlackShoreUpdate to see these pictures.
We're going to have to get you to do the same profile as you've got in each of the
projects.
Yeah. Because I think it looks better if you compare it with you side on than if we had it front on.
They are both sort of three quarters profile.
Yeah. Which I'm really glad, because essentially, this way, we only had to draw half a face.
That is true.
And the nose was really hard to do in profile, but how are you meant to do it front on?
God only knows.
Well, I'm glad we didn't do that. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
We're going to tweet these portraits. They are something to behold. You should definitely go to Twitter, @BlackShoreUpdate, and have a look at them. I feel like Matt feels like he probably wants to take one home. Both home. Maybe frame them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Christmas present for Mum.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And for someone you hate.
All my Christmas cards on the round robin.
Oh, yes!
Yes!
We're at the end of the show. Thank you so much, Scrap Alex, for coming
and
doing your art.
Our pleasure.
It was brilliant. We're actually in the process of thinking about what we're going to make the boys do in 2 weeks' time. We are thinking it might be sculpture, but if you have any ideas, please tweet us @BlackShoreUpdate or follow us on Facebook and give us a comment.
And if you are an artist of any kind, we would love for the boys to have a tutor. Because as today has shown, they've not done any research themselves, so any support that outsiders can offer, I think, would be great, gratefully received.
I think it's great to see that anybody can do art.
Yeah, that's what.
Actually, I've got to say, it was really fun. Like,
oh, good,
the results
good, yeah.
have been
mixed.
As two results can be. But it was good.
I'm glad you guys had fun.
Yeah.
I had fun. It was very interesting watching you guys draw. It was hilarious. That's the end of the show. Thank you very much to everyone who has joined me this evening, Matt and Ellie.
Cheers.
And Alex and Strat will be back in 2 weeks' time, hopefully to do something else that is as hilarious as this has been. We are the Lecture Arts Hour. We are saying goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.